Good morning, church. Man, y'all are in a talkative mood this morning. That's a good thing. You want to be able to come to church and enjoy fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me welcome you if you're visiting today. I know we have some first-timers with us. It's an honor to have you here with us. Our house is your house. If you're watching online, I know we have a lot of people. Let me remind those of you who are here today and maybe you're traveling in the weeks to come. We've done a good bit of work over the past several weeks to be able to stream these services online. So we're online on Facebook. You can go watch us live, and then they're actually cataloged there. You can go back and catch previous services from worship all the way through. We don't have it to studio quality yet, but it works if you're traveling. It gives you a good way to stay connected with us through the summer. I know we have vacations and trips, and sometimes work takes you away. And we wanted you to have a good way to be able to stay plugged in with the family and keep to being a part of your family. Today we're going to jump into the last part of a little bit of wisdom. And we've covered a lot of great topics. If you've missed them over the last several weeks, again, they're online. They're on the podcast. You can go back and catch those. But we've been talking about the book of Proverbs. It was written by King Solomon. If you don't know the story, King Solomon in the Old Testament, he was the son of King David of Israel. And Solomon had a chance to ask God for anything he wanted. And when the time came, he asked God for the wisdom, the right wisdom to lead the people correctly, to teach them and guide them. And God said, well, since you asked for that, I'm not only going to give you all the wisdom of Egypt, I'm also going to give you everything you need. And even historical records outside of the Bible will point towards Solomon as one of the wealthiest kings that's ever lived. We've been hanging our hats on this scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, that says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And if it's at the top of God's list, it should be at the top of our list. Amen? Let's try that again. If it's the top of God's list, it should be at the top of our list. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, it goes on to say, though it cost you everything, get understanding. In other words, it has value. Wisdom, understanding. You need to go after it because it can change your life. Now today, we're going to talk about this somewhat unpleasant word. It's at the top of your page there. If you didn't get a sheet, shoot your hand up in the air, and one of the ushers will bring you a message note. We're going to talk about discipline. Something in the neighborhood of 30-plus times in the book of Proverbs, discipline comes up. Not only to adults, but also in reference to parents, to their kids. Because I truly believe, I believe this in life, I believe this as a pastor. I believe for you to have any authority, you have to be what? Under authority. You can't, there's nobody in this world that has authority that does not have somebody they answer to. Proverbs chapter 3 actually tells us that the Lord corrects those, say it with me, he loves. There's this idea in the Bible that God smacks us around because he's angry at us, or because he doesn't like us, or he can't quite love us yet. That's just not true. The Bible says he corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he takes delight. Today we're going to talk about this word, and I would never say, let me say this up front, I would never say that as a parent I've got it down as discipline. Melanie is more a balance to me because I was raised, my grandfather was a multi-sport basketball coach, won state championships. And so even my dad to me, and I would tell him this if you're watching, Dad, somewhat took on a coaching side of being a dad. You know, coaches tend to not have the following, but tend to say, this is the way it's going to be because it's what's good for you. They instruct you in life. And so I would never say I have it down. But I think most of us, if we're honest, we fail or miss the mark of discipline. And if you're in here today and you're not married, don't have kids, listen, because we'll save you some trouble, okay? If you're thinking about having kids or trying to have kids, whatever category, or have kids and wish you didn't have kids, whatever it may be, I'm going to help you today if you'll just listen. And probably be a direction, I'm going to be a little teachy this morning because I want us to take away something today we can all be changed by. But most of us, when we hear a phrase like disciplining my children, we in the South, we use terms, and I use this quite frequently, and our girls know it, when we get home, we're going to have a little come to Jesus, right? You know, you heard that and you grew up in the South, there might be some bloodshed, right? And it's about to get real. Most of us, when we hear this phrase, our minds go to, again, raised in the South, you know, spanking. And we would say whipping. Or as my grandmother used to say, she was going to jerk a knot in my tail. And she did quite frequently. Sometimes I'm not going to dive heavy into spanking. But I will say, people quote this one proverb, and if you've not heard it, you know, you may be familiar with this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. We all like to quote this, whoever spoils the rod, and then we all say, one version says, spoils the child. In other words, if you ain't beating them, they ain't right. And we just, that's discipline. If you ask people, even Christians have been saved for a long time, what's discipline? They'll say, well, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And that becomes discipline in its totality. But notice it goes on to say, but the one who loves their children is what? Say this word with me. Careful. Careful tells us something of intentionality. Because most of you, and if parents, you're just going to have to be honest, I've done it. Most of you, when you get to the point which you are disciplining your children, especially if it's come to where you feel like you need to spank them, we ain't intentional. It's like the shotgun pellets. We're just spraying just whatever we can whack, whatever we can hit. And I mean, really, if we're honest, and Melanie will remind me sometimes, you have to be careful because you can do it out of anger. And that's not careful. But the Bible says there needs to be intentionality in it. You're careful to discipline them. And from this point, people divide into two camps, spank and don't spank. Most of us, and I we do spank in our house, but it's very much in love and control. And whenever I tend to be the one that gets a little bit elevated in my blood pressure, Melanie will, hey, watch out. We don't do it out of anger. So I still take correction, and I've not got it down. We do spank our kids, but it's never done in anger. It's always followed with love. And let me say this to you. If spanking is your only discipline, if that's the only avenue or measure in which you discipline children, you're not disciplining them. You are doing too little too late. That's not discipline. That then becomes a veiled attempt at trying to pain them into right. And it just doesn't work. So spanking is of the Bible. I do agree, and I know we can go into the camps. I'm not going to get into the argument. I can back it up with the Bible more than just that verse. But there is very much an intentionality to it because it is clear, and the Bible even tells us that pain and discomfort is part of our process as adults, right? What motivates us more to move and change where we are? Joy or pain? Pain. You can say happiness makes you want to stay where you are. You get in a place where there's some pain and you want to get out. Something grabs a hold of you and is just painful. I remember my grandfather was an electrician, and as a 10, 11, 12-year-old, back then, you know, there's no labor laws. So my grandfather used to take me to a job with him, and he taught me how to wire electrical outlets. And it was simply just connecting the wires to the side, screwing them together. And I'll never forget him. He always taught, you know, test it, make sure it's not hot, make sure. And I was really studious about doing it because I was terrified about getting electrocuted. And I remember grabbing two wires and going to put them together. And off in the distance, I hear somebody say, clear, it's going hot. And somebody flipped the breaker on about the time I had a hold of two sides of one circuit. Well, how many know that pain caused me to want to do something? To let go. Because pain motivates us. So pain is part of our process. Discomfort, but pain can never be the point. God in our pain, I don't believe he causes it. He allows us to walk through some stuff on our own, but the pain is not the point. It's part of the process. It's getting you through, and it's the same in disciplining our children. Sometimes pain is in the process, but if pain is your only point of discipline, you're not disciplining. You're just trying to inflict pain, and it's not going to work. It's going to cause other difficulties and other feelings between you and the child. So I want to give you some encouragement today. It's important for us not to just receive correction from God, but for us to instill and demonstrate discipline to our children. And this may fall for you as a teacher. This may fall for you as a leader. Some of these principles as a leader I struggle with, but if I'm trying to begin to put them in play, because when I do, I think as leaders we get better. But we're going to talk specifically about the demonstration, what it means to demonstrate discipline. And the first thing is, and you got to believe this, it's a demonstration of love. We just read what the Bible says, that God disciplines those. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, it says, the Lord corrects those he loves. In the New Testament, and I love the way the guy paraphrases this in the Message version, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, for the Lord, oh, there we go, sorry. It is the child that he loves that he disciplines. That it's a child that he embraces. See, I think we've got a completely wrong worldly mentality a lot of times of discipline. It can't be love. I'm going to show you how angry I am. I heard a story from a pastor I was watching teach about discipline and talking about his kids, and probably like a lot of us have done as kids, his child got caught, I think, egging a house or toilet papering a house or something, and then the cops got involved, and when he went to pick his son up, he said, I noted that the other parents had the kids by the ear, and they were spanking and wailing on them and screaming, you're going to boarding school, and you'll never see the light of day again. And this pastor walked up to him and said, to his son, and said, hey, son. And when his son looked up, he said, you never needed me more than you need me now, right? And he said that moment began to turn in his son, where he understood that discipline was him showing him love. This one's not in your notes, but even in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, it says, I correct and discipline everyone that I love. See, discipline is a mechanism by which you try to change behavior and teach wisdom and teach knowledge, but it's also how you show love. There is an element of love. And you need to understand this. Parents, hear me. I struggle with this too, but it's still truth. Showing your kids love is not just letting them get what they want, when they want it, how they want it. That's not love. Matter of fact, the Bible, as we'll see in a minute, goes even further and says that's the opposite of love. That you are permitting, one of the words means death. You're permitting death by not disciplining. Love is not letting them get what they want when they want. Discipline. Discipline is not to make your life easier, it's to make their life where God needs them to be. How many of you agree? Discipline's not easy. I mean, even our own lives, discipline is not easy. It's hard. If we were all disciplined, we would all be perfect shape, perfect health, and all be the same. You know, there would be nobody that has health issues because we'd all be disciplined. Well, obviously, we're all not, me included. The Bible says, too, that the demonstration of discipline is a demonstration of hope and belief in the child. Do you know that your child understands and perceives whether you think they're capable of anything or not? I cannot stand. Don't. If you do this, stop it. Don't tell your kid that they're never going to amount to anything. Don't tell your kid you'll never be able to do that. It's wrong. And it shows them that you have no hope and belief. When you begin to show discipline, you begin to show them, I'm doing this because I have hope and belief that you are going to be something. You're going to be a world changer. You're going to be something better than me. You're going to change heaven and earth, and I believe that. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 19. This is the first part of the verse 18. It says, discipline your children. For in that there is what? Hope. So what would the opposite of that be? If you're not disciplined, if you don't take the time and care and effort and show the love to discipline, then you're saying to that child, I don't really have hope that you're ever going to be much. And there are too many kids in this world that don't have anybody to show them they have hope. And it's sad when you have kids that have parents, and the parents, we don't show them hope. I love telling my girls, and we pray over them every night. You've heard me say this, that they will be whole, complete, and lacking nothing. I tell Mabel, and if you walk over to her now and ask her, hey, Mabel, you're a, and she's going to answer, a leader, not a follower. And I tell her that all the time because my hope and belief is that she is exactly that. So discipline is a demonstration of hope and belief. Again, you think letting things go. A lot of parents, I just let it go, let them choose what they want to do, let them find their own way, let them have what they want, when they want, will work. Remember I said there's a verse, look at the second part of chapter 19, verse 18. It says, do not be a willing party to their, how many of you would agree that that is a harsh word, death? There's another verse, and I didn't have room for it, that says, you may even save them from something worse than death. What's worse than death? Eternal separation from God. So now we see that discipline is a demonstration of hope and belief in them, that they're going to go the right way and learn about and meet Jesus so that you can save them from something even worse than death. But those who don't discipline their kids, who don't try to instill the things of God in them, you're a willing party. Now, some of you who have older kids, have you ever considered the willing party aspect of this? I think it's kind of sobering. It's something that I think our generation today, the generations even back to mine, we've just watched the idea of discipline go down. We become, instead of showing hope and belief, we want to be friends and buddies. I'm friends with my girls. Mabel and I, at the beginning of this week, were able to go on kind of a daddy-daughter night, and we went with some friends to the lake, and just her and I got to hang out, and she was so funny because we slept in a room that had two twin beds, and she laid over on one side on the bed, and she said, Daddy, you can't sleep with me because I'll kick you. And I said, yes, honey, you will. I'm going to sleep over here. But she laid down, and she said, Daddy, thank you. And see, she was communicating that she understood there's hope and belief in who she was and the value. And we're friends. But hear me, friends. I'm daddy first. And when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you, were you friends with your child? Remember, I said this a few weeks ago, and today it rings true more than ever. Will the things that you've put your effort of life to show up with you in heaven? When you lay that across the idea of your family and your kids, it becomes a whole lot more real, doesn't it? So discipline is hope and belief. The next thing, it's a demonstration of wisdom. Disciplining anybody, even those a subordinate at work or somebody, it's a demonstration that you know better and the way they did it was wrong, and your way is wisdom. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15. It says, to discipline a child produces what? Wisdom. Because an undisciplined child gives mama a headache. Right? How many have ever said this? My kids have made me want to pull my hair out. Those of you who don't have your hands raised must not have kids. See, because the Bible says that when you give them wisdom and discipline, that you create in them wisdom. I guess this is why my grandfather had me wiring outlets, but as a child, I remember very specifically in the first house we lived in, taking a fork and sticking it where? In an outlet, right? Was that wisdom? No. And then when I got electrocuted, and I got spanked, it said to me, that's not wisdom. Wisdom would be, don't do that again. And that was the last time I ever stuck a fork in an outlet. And I got wise. Some of us need to demonstrate a wisdom to our kids. It's a great time to impart. You never, it goes back to what I said about the pastor a minute ago. That's the time when you lean down and go, you never needed me more than you need me right now. because you have made decisions that were bad and lacking wisdom, and let me give you some wisdom. Because that's when their hearts are tender and they're ready to listen because they realize that they screwed up. And again, I'm not saying that I'm not giving you the method of discipline. Sometimes it is spanking. Sometimes it's grace. Sometimes it's a combination of something in between. This one's not in your notes, but it says in Proverbs 22:15 in the Message version that young people are prone to foolishness. Has there ever been such a true statement? That the cure comes through tough-minded discipline. Notice it didn't say harsh. Again, if you're doing it out of anger, if you're doing it out of this overriding emotion of I'm going to beat it out of you. Because again, if we're honest, maybe it's just me. Maybe I was just the first born and paved the way. But sometimes I deserve, my mom, you know, as small as she is, chasing me around with the spoon, you know, she was trying to beat it out of me. But none of us would say that. None of us would really say, well, I'm just going to keep swinging until you get right. Right? Some of us have probably felt that. And maybe you've pushed the boundaries. But again, discipline demonstrates to them wisdom. That you have wisdom, hopefully you do, and that their choices were lacking wisdom. Their last blank, let me tell you before I give it to you. You have to be walking this to use it. If you're not, you will demonstrate to your kids one thing and one thing only, and that is that you are a hypocrite. Got quiet. I've walked down this, and I just, as I was writing things out and I was going to list this, I thought, you know what? I need to say that I've been a hypocrite before because I've not walked what is demonstration of the right path. Don't tell your kids to do right and you do wrong. Don't, and this goes all the way up through as you leading them as an adult, with adult children coming behind you. There is a truth to the old adage, don't do one thing and say another. I had somebody come up to me several years ago and said to me, we heard some great stuff about your kids' church, which they're over there today having their own service from start to finish. A great team doing a great job. And they came to me and said, we really want to get our kids. Their kids were like third, fourth grade. We want our kids to love church and to be in church. And I said, great. I said, we'd love to have you. You've got a great team. They'll take good care of them. They'll teach them the Bible. They'll love on them. And when they come in. And they said, well, we may drop them off. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you're going to drop them off? I said, do y'all go to church somewhere else? And they said, no, we don't go to church. We know God, but we don't go to church. And I just told them, I said, well, you're wasting your time. And they kind of looked at me. I said, if you're trying to teach your kids to love church, you can bring them. I'm never going to tell you not to bring them, but if you're going to bring them wanting to teach them love church, if you're going to teach them that church is good for you but not good for me, that's not discipline, that's not wisdom. You're just telling them that once they can make their own decisions, they're not going to choose church. You're going to force them as long as they're under your house, and you force them to drop them off. And we'll love them and teach them, and we'll pray God does something supernatural, but you can't expect your child to walk the right path if it's not the right path for you either. And as parents, that's sometimes hard. Even as a pastor, sometimes Melanie will say, hey, well, if we're going to say this, we got to walk it. I tell our leaders, the trustees, I don't check tithe. I don't check if you tithe. Matter of fact, I try to stay out of your giving altogether. It's handled outside of me. But with our trustees and those who are in leadership, pastoral positions, and I told them this, Cam is ordained, we ordain him as a pastor, and I can tell you the man tithes and he loves God and serves him and worships with his tithe. But the reason I know that is because he and I as pastors can't ask you to do something that we're not doing. As leaders, we don't ask you to do anything that we're not doing ourselves. And so we do that with our kids. You got to, if you want to demonstrate the right path, you got to be on the right path. I had a friend say to me, he didn't use the word right path, he used another term, But he said, if you can't, the right path is not something you can point out. The right path is something you have to be standing on. And if you're not standing on it, then you can't point somebody else to it. That's the literal definition of being a hypocrite. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, are y'all still with me? You good? Okay, y'all are kind of looking like you just got spanked yourselves, so I just want to make sure. The Bible says, direct your child onto the right path. I would say, come with me. Follow me. Pointing at the right path is just not going to work. Why? Because when they're old, they're not going to leave it. They may wander, they may stray, but the Bible's very clear. Teach your kids the way of God, and they will walk that path. But I truly believe we think we're teaching, and what we're doing is simply pointing out because we don't believe what we're teaching because we don't walk out what we're teaching. If you want them to, if you want to demonstrate importance, you have to do it yourself. And one good example I use is Melanie as my wife and Melanie as the mother of my children. My girls know that if you want to get me upset, be rude and ugly to Melanie. If you, anybody watching, want to get me upset, be rude to Melanie. Why? Because I have value on her. And I demonstrate to my girls that's not how we treat her. She is your mother, but before she was your mother, she was my wife. And we don't act that way. We don't, some of you at the table, and I know we have our own things, but when we sit down at the table to eat, my girls know better than to crinkle their noses. Sometimes I want to crinkle my noses. I love you, honey. But sometimes we were joking. I think it was Andrew back there. Andrew and I were talking about, anybody like Brussels sprouts? What's wrong with you people? It's like eating, ugh. So Melanie will make them every now and then. And so I, with the girls, we poke them and like, 1, 2, 3, go. You know, Mabel does the nibble, trying to eat it. Like, and then Emma and I just shove it in. Emma's over there going, you know. And I just chew and swallow and get it down and go, see? But what am I demonstrating to them? She took the time to make it for us. She's feeding us. We don't treat her with disrespect. Now, and they will. And Melanie has before told them, you can eat it now or you can eat it for breakfast. And Brussels sprouts are just as nasty for breakfast. It's demonstrating to them the right path. And I'm not just pointing at it, I'm standing on it. Don't point at the path, stand on it. And sometimes this may take some of us, as you walk through this in the future with kids, you may have to make some changes in you first before you can expect changes to be made in them, so we're not hypocrites. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, this one's not in your notes, but it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't lead them down the wrong. You can point to a path, but they're not going to follow the path you point to. They're going to follow the path that you're standing on. Don't lead them. It says, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from God. You can't give it if you ain't got it. So real quick, before we get out of here, I'm going to give you four things. And I didn't know what to call them, so I just called them game changers. Sometimes I think when we can grab a hold of something new, it can change your game. They change the way you see things, and maybe today help some of you who haven't crossed this bridge to avoid some potholes. And the first one is, we talked about demonstrating the right path. The first thing is, if you're not on the right path, get on the right path. And you can apply this to whatever. You're in church today, and that's good. But we all know there's parts of our lives that we are not on the right path. And your children, and showing them discipline, you show them what you care about with money. You show them what you care about with your spouse. You show them where they fit in the process. Sometimes we don't just not discipline our kids, we just ignore them. And we go about our own ways, and then we just hit the roof when they don't do right. Well, they don't do right because nobody's ever taught them. There's a word that people think today is an ugly word, but it's not. It's truth, and that word is ignorance. Ignorance does not mean you're dumb. Ignorance does not mean somebody's dumb. Ignorance means that they are uninstructed or unled. And there is a lot of us who expect our kids to overcome ignorance, and it just doesn't happen. If it does, it's the hand of God. So get yourself on the right path. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:12, in the Message version, it says, give yourselves to discipline. Solomon, when he's writing this, was talking to adults in their relationship to following God. Give yourselves to discipline and instruction. Open your ears to tested knowledge. Now, again, since we're all being real today, and I've showed you my skeleton, I'll ask yours. How many of you despise being told that you're wrong? You just don't like it. Even when you're wrong, you're gonna ride that ship all the way to the ground, right? Some of you are laughing and not raising your hands because you know it's true. Discipline would say, and wisdom, the Bible, remember we're talking about wisdom, getting wisdom. Wisdom would say, this boat's going down. The whole, and if you like this movie, I'm sorry, but remember the movie Titanic? That was a dumb movie. I know it's a true story. Like, wisdom says, get on the raft. Wisdom says at the end with the guy and the girl, y'all can both be fine. Stay there. You know, she lets him go and waves goodbye and then throws the diamond in the water. No. This just doesn't make sense to me. You got to be willing to say, hey, what you're doing is a bad idea. Get off. Get off the boat. Stop doing that. Something bad's going to happen. Here's your opportunity. I remember when we moved into our house, this was like 2004, and it was an old, our house in 2004, it was like walking into that show was on TV called That 70s Show. Y'all remember that? I think they took it off our house when we bought it. And so Emma was little, and we had moved into the house, and we didn't have any furniture. There was nothing in there. And we had that old nasty shag carpet. It was like we had one half that was green and the other half was like this burnt orange, nasty. And I was playing with Emma, and all we had was a cardboard box. So I put Emma in the box and I was pushing her around the carpet. She was 4 or 5. No, younger than that maybe. Somewhere in 2 to 3 age. Anyway, and I was pushing her around and she's giggling and I had her facing backwards. She sat backwards, so she faced me. So I was pushing her backwards. And of course, like anything with dads, you got to go faster and faster, and one time's not enough. You just keep going and going. And so I was pushing it around. Well, we have a door that leads into our kitchen, which had old linoleum on it. And it was sticky. So I took off running with Emma and pushed her and then shoved her. And I'm thinking, she's waving like, hey, and she's backwards, not knowing that trouble's coming. Wisdom would have said, get out, stop her, get her out. Yeah, we do it. Even in my lack of wisdom, shoving her, wisdom says, get out, stop, don't do that. Don't slide. Try to slide a box with your child across a sticky floor. Well, guess what happened? It stuck, and Emma went, wham, and smacked her head on a concrete floor. Melanie, You know, we freeze. Melanie comes running, she's screaming. Emma won't have anything to do with me for a week or so. See, a lot of us, wisdom says, hey, have your knowledge tested. Is this a good idea? But you have to have yourself on the right path to show them that what they're doing is not a good idea. Don't allow them to look back at you and go, well, you told me not to do it, but you're doing it. We tell our kids that all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a drink. I don't have any issue with that. But if you tell your kids one thing, and then you do another. Are you having your knowledge tested? So get yourself on the right path. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:2 that those who follow the right path, and we talked about this the first week of this series, and Solomon said that you have to have this healthy fear of God. Those who follow the right path understand. Let me say it this way. Understand God's place in their life and his rightful place. And that's why they stay on the right path, because it's an honoring God thing, and you demonstrate that in disciplining your kids. The second thing, and this seems kind of to be the opposite of discipline, and that is celebrate the good stuff. Celebrating the good stuff is discipline. We think discipline. We think, what have they done now? what have you done wrong now? I'm going to have to spank you. I'm going to have to take something away. I'm going to have to ground you. I'm going to have to take the keys to your car, whatever it may be. But how many, honestly, in your child's life, have you thought, I'm going to celebrate the good stuff? I'm going to celebrate something good. And it doesn't have to be anything big. That you acknowledge, instead of them knowing that when you come to them, their expectation is you're going to tell them what they did wrong. Do you know what it's going to be like to them and when you come to them and then you begin to tell them how proud you are and you celebrate the good stuff? We tried to, even with Mabel this year, she did excellent in school. She's super smart. And just, we tried to continually tell her, hey, we're proud of you. We expect you to be at that level because you're capable, but we're proud of you. We know how hard you work. We know, and celebrate the good things. When your teenagers come to you, when you go to your teenagers, are they wincing because you're about to tell them how they can't? They're not. They won't. They'll never. Or are you beginning to tell them they have, they will, they'll continue to do the things that are good and positive? Celebrate the good stuff. Discipline is just not trying. Remember, discipline is not just trying to whip the bad out of them. If that's your only approach, I'm just going to tell you now, you're going to fail. And there's more at stake than just that instance of getting the point across to your kid when they've done something that's not right. It's just as much about celebrating the good stuff. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of a godly children has what? Cause for joy. We could say just as easily, the parents of a godly child, a child that's making good decisions, a child that's doing the things they are supposed to be, a child that's showing respect. And it's demonstrated. And you demonstrate to them how good they are. Let me give you another one. This is Rabbit Trail. And Mabel's going to hate it because she always asks me every Sunday, did you talk about me today? And so I'm going to talk about Mabel again. Both of my girls, I was raised that when you meet somebody, even if there's any assumption that they're older than you, and they ask you a question, your answer is to be, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. When I was in California, they ain't raised that way. You get a lady angry when she asks you a question and you say, yes, ma'am. I had a lady scream at me one time. I am not old. I am not your ma'am. My name is, and she called her name. And she was serious. And she said, do you understand? And out of respect and habit, guess what I said? Yes, ma'am. And she just snarled. I said, I'm just going to walk away. See, those are things that you demonstrate. And with my girls, and I know it aggravates them. But even when we're having a general conversation and I ask Mabel, hey, did you do this or can you do this? And she just says, yes. I'm very polite. I'll just wait. And she'll say yes. And it may take her once or twice. And most times she'll go, yes. Yes, sir. But we're demonstrating to her in a simple thing that people deserve respect. And you respect those people and you teach them. And so when she does it, going back to celebrating the good, when she does that, I acknowledge it. I just don't go, oh yeah, I expect that of you. That's what you should be doing. You really want something good? No. That you should have been doing that. But we celebrate the good stuff. And I promise you, it will make a difference in their lives early on, and it will lead to this next point. And the next one is that you understand that discipline is about their heart. Shying away from discipline and correction does not make them love you or like you more. In fact, the Bible teaches, and I believe it's just the opposite. I meet a lot of parents, well, I can't do that. I can't hold my, I can't. Why? Because they'll hate me. No. I personally believe that's a lie that the enemy perpetuates so that kids go further and further away from their parents. Understand it's about their heart. Malachi, you go to Matthew and hang a left, one chapter, was a prophet in the Old Testament. And God speaking through Malachi said this in Malachi chapter 6. He said, he's talking about the Savior, the Jesus that would come. And he says, his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children. Which, you hope, I mean, that makes sense. But look what it goes on to say. And the hearts of their children to who? Their fathers. Here's teaching. His teaching is going to change not only the father's heart to the kids, but as you teach and discipline your child, father or mother, it's bringing them to you. It's not pushing them away. Now, if you're buying into the idea that you can just simply, that you can beat it out of them, that's the only form of discipline you have, or really, truthfully, if you just have one form, and we can go through and probably laugh about a lot of crazy stuff that our parents and grandparents have done to us to try to discipline us. But if it's only one way, if it's only one avenue, it's not going to work, and it's actually going to push them away. The Bible says, Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, and he's making a case in the first section of Proverbs, he's making a case on why you need wisdom. But Solomon talking about his dad, his dad was King David, says, my father taught me to take my words to heart and then do what? Follow me. Follow right close behind me. If you want to up your game, change your game of discipline, you need to understand that not disciplining them is not bringing them closer. In most cases, it's communicating to a child or a young person even that you don't care. They expect a reaction, and a lot of times we just ignore them, just whatever, just do what you want. You know, you'll figure it out one day. I wish somebody had told me on some things that I could have figured out ahead of time and not had to walk through it. And the ones that, if you think about the people in your life that care enough to say something, those are the people that you're what? That you're closer to. That are closer in your life. It's why we do what we do in grow groups. Melanie said in a few weeks, grow groups, the summer session is starting back. We'll start back in the fall with the longer fall session. But we get in a grow group so you have somebody else that can speak into your life. And when they do, what happens to your relationship? You get closer. Now, if your heart's not right, or if somebody comes at you with a wrong heart, yeah, it's gonna cause some tension. But listening and following the way the Bible says to do it is going to bring you closer together. And the same is true for your children. And the last one, and this is the one that I mean it to be stark, and maybe a little rough, but that is, it's about the bigger picture. If you look at your kid as only your kid now here on the earth, you are completely missing God's creation. Will what you created show up in heaven? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13. Here's the verse I referred to earlier. Don't be afraid to correct your young ones. And I love the way the Message guy paraphrases this. He says, a spanking's not going to kill them. Disciplining your child is not going to kill them. Taking their iPad, their Xbox, their PlayStation, the TV, the keys to their car. I had a friend growing up that... She, in her high school years, just went through a just complete rebellion. And I had to respect her parent. Her parents told her, hey, if you do this, this, and this, you're not going, and big life events, you're not going to senior prom, you're not doing this, this, and this. I mean, you take away senior prom, oh gosh, you're going to take it. But you know what it did? It turned that girl's life around, and she's serving God today. Now, I don't know about you, but her eternity is way more important to me than the fact she didn't get to wear a dress and go to the senior prom. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure it was hurtful. But her parents told her, if this is what happens, this is the result. Your discipline is going to be this. And she did it anyway. But later, they told her, it's because we care more about the big picture. And the big picture is where you spend eternity. not what school you go to, not what person you marry, not how many kids, and all this stuff's important. But if you just back up and add this thought into your discipline, it's about the bigger picture. Because saving them is going to be saving them from something far worse than death. Then the last verse, and this one's not in your notes. Josh, you can come on up. This is in Hebrews. We're going to go back to Hebrews 12:11. We read in Hebrews a little earlier. We're going to go to the end, toward the end. And I love the way he writes his, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their what? Relationship with God. My wife has demonstrated now, Emma will be, believe it or not, some of you have known her a long time, Emma will be 17 in October. And all of her life, from the day we found out Melanie was pregnant, Melanie has continued to tell Emma, you will know God, you will follow him. You will know God, you will, in various ways. Y'all know we pray over our girls every night. You'll know God, you'll hear his voice, you'll follow him. You'll know God, you'll hear his voice, you'll follow him over and over. Because it's easy? No. Because it's fun? No. Because it's something we wake up in the morning, woohoo, we get to discipline the kids? No. It's because that for both of my girls, I've realized, and I tell you as a husband, I've followed Melanie's lead because it's been a passion of hers from day one, that you're going to know him, listen to him, and follow him. Know him, listen to him, and follow him. Know him. And we pray over every night. The girls ask, hey, what do I do? They're trying to make a decision. Well, they'll be asked, what do you think God would want you to do? We don't get spiritual. We don't dive in and break out the Greek and Hebrew, because I really believe that what this verse says, that the handsome payoff is not that they'll be blessed, they will, not that they'll be wise, but they will, not that they'll find a great godly husband, but they have no choice, not that they're going to have great careers and be blessed in their finances. I believe they will. Well, because they got to take care of us, so they're going to have to figure that out. But the reason we do it, and the reason that I think we're failing as Christians who should be disciplined, is because we don't understand that a well-trained child has a close relationship with God. And I think we can do something about it. And I think Solomon would say, you're worried about all this other stuff, but you're not even on the right path leading them to the thing that is most important, and that is their eternity. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, in Jesus' name. God, there may be some of us in the room, some of you watching online. And God, they would just say to you, I'm not on the right path. I'm not leading the way. And even in the beginning of knowing you, I've never given you my life. Or maybe you have given God your life and received Jesus, and you would just say, I need to make it right. I need to get back. So just for a second, I'm going to just push pause for a minute, and just heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're watching online, you can comment below. But if you say, Clint, today I need to get some things back on the right path, and probably that's going to start by just telling God I'm sorry and then receiving Jesus. Just real quick, if that's you, or if you're watching online, if today you say, God, Clint, I just need to make it right, then just wave at me real quick and we'll pray together. Now, there's a few hands in the room. All right. Then just pray something like this. If you're watching online, you can just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I stand on the right path that is following behind you, Jesus. And I'm not only going to walk it, but I'm going to teach it to my children and to those who are coming behind me. And I receive you now, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for the rest of us, real quick, here's on my heart today, because I need help too. I need wisdom too. So my prayer today is just that. As we leave here, maybe you're going on vacation this week. Maybe you got to go back to work tomorrow. I don't know. That we're going to leave here asking God for wisdom to demonstrate to those behind you. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's those at work, whatever it may be. And demonstrate that I have godly discipline in my life, and be able to impart that into the lives of our children. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I bless everybody today to hear your voice, to follow you like never before. That in those areas of our lives where we're not on the right path, that today, Father God, you would bring those things into line. That tugging on our heart, your spirit inside of us that says, come this way, that today we would follow and listen and obey. And help us demonstrate and show love and bring correction where it needs to be brought and bring life to our children. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody say,